Okay, so good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, April 11th, 2018, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues in Houston, Texas, for our weekly lunch and learn after our Pesach break. And today we are going to be studying Parashat Shemini. And we are on page 588 in the Chumash. And if you have a different Chumash than the one we use, we are in Sefer Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, Perek Tet, chapter 9, verse 1. And we're going to start with a Gemara in Masechet Megillah, which you do not have in front of you. I'll read it to you, which offers us a general klal, a general principle of how to understand words in the Torah that appear, or the Tanakh for that matter, that appear over and over again. Okay? So, what I'm referring to is the pasuk, the first pasuk of Vayehi Vayom Hashmini, Kara Moshe Li Aronu Levanav Ulezikne Yisrael. It was on the eighth day, Moshe, of getting the Mishkan ready, the Chanukat HaMishkan. So it was on the eighth day, Moshe summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And then they tell them how to do the Avodah in the Mishkan that is done by the Kohanim. And the Gemara says something very interesting about this phrase, Vayehi Vayom Hashmini. And I'll read you the Gemara. You don't have it, as I said. It's in Masechet Megillah, Daf Yud Amud Bet, 10b. The Gemara here is talking, Masechet Megillah has to do with Purim. And so the Megillah here is dealing with the opening phrase of Megillat Esther, which is Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh. Okay, so the Gemara is now going to talk about this pasuk. It says, "Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, Amar Rabbi Levi v'itema Rabbi Yochanan." Rabbi Levi said, and some say it was Rabbi Yochanan who said, "Davar ze masoret biyadenu." This matter is a tradition. Masoret biyadenu me'anshei Knesset HaGedolah is a tradition that we received from the members of the Great Assembly. Kol makom shenemar vayehi, anywhere in the Torah that the word vayehi is used, eino ella lishon tsar. It is a term that indicates grief. Tsar, tsaris.
Yeah, tsaris.
Okay, anytime you have the word vayehi. So that's very interesting. In its own way, right now we know, anytime you read the Torah and you come across the word Vayehi, you know that according to the Gemara in Masechet Megillah, it is talking about something bad, something sorrowful that took place on that day that the Gemara is talking about. And the Gemara that the Torah is talking about. And before we get into our Pasuk, the Gemara gives a couple of examples of Vayehis that appear in the Tanakh. And they tell us that they're bad. First of all, Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, the beginning of the book of Esther, of Megillat Esther. That's bad news for the Jews, as they say. Right? It's that story starts off with bad, something bad. Haman's plot to try to kill the Jews. Vayehi b'mei Achashverosh, Hava Haman. Right? The Gemara says, it came to pass in the days of Achashverosh, Vayehi, there was Haman. Vayehi b'mei Shvot Hashoftim. The Gemara tells us the beginning of Megillat Rut, which says it was in the days where the judges ruled. What was the problem at the beginning of Megillat Rut? Havet Ra'av. There was a famine at the beginning of Megillat Rut. Vayehi ki hechel ha'am larov, a pasuk in Bereshit, and it came to pass, Vayehi, when men began to multiply. What's the negative thing that happens there? Vayar Hashem ki rabah ra'at ha'adam. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Okay, so far three examples of Vayehi. And the notion that they all talk about something bad. Obeth just commented on Facebook Live. This, she was ahead of the game. The verse where God regretted creating humankind. A couple of other examples. Vayhi benasam mikedem. It came to pass, vayhi, as they journeyed from the east. Also in Bereshit, this time Bereshit Yud Aleph 11, which is followed by Hava nivne lanu ir. Come, let us build a city. That's the story of Migdal Bavel, which also was not a good thing. Okay, another vayhi. Vayhi me Amraphel, also in Genesis 14, it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, and about whom it is said, Asu milchama, that he made war. Vayhi biyot Yehoshua biyericho, and it came to pass when Yehoshua was in Yericho. Vicharbo shilufa biyado, it was there that he saw an angel with a sword in his hand, which was a warning. Another one. Vayhi Hashem et Yehoshua, the Lord was with Yehoshua. And right afterwards, Vayimalu b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, they revolted. They sinned. So the Gemara goes on and on and on to give us a number of Vayahis that portray grief. And so we have to figure out what's the grief in our part, what's the grief here? Okay? Now, by the way, the Gemara then says, hold on a second. Hold your horses. After giving us this long list of negative vayahis, the Gemara says, what about this? Vakativ vayahi bayom hashmini.
Yeah.
What about our pasuk? Vayahi bayom hashmini, which what, this does not seem to be anything bad. This is good. Right? This is Chanukat HaMishkan. Right? Vayahi bayom hashmini vahatanya. Oto, the Gemara says, listen to this, which was the day of the dedication of the tabernacle, and it was taught in a Braita with regard to that day. Oto hayom haita simcha lifnei hakadosh baruch hu kiyom shenivru'u bo shamayim va'aretz.
And after that.
Right? On that day, there was joy before the Holy One, blessed be He, similar to the joy that existed on the day on which the heavens and earth were created. So what? Why is this?
But then Nadav Avihu, that's happened just right away.
Ah, okay. Hold on 1 second, and let's then the Gemara continues and says, "Ktiv hacha vayehi b'yom hashmini, uktiv hatam vayehi erev vayehi boker yom echad." Right. That's the connection.
I know.
How could a vayehi be bad? Vayehi is good. It was. Right. That's the connection. Right. You have the Gemara is creating sort of a quasi what we call Gezerat Shaveh, right? You have a pasuk Vayehi here. You have the verse Vayehi Erev Vayboker Yom Echad, both with Vayehi, and that was the day the world was created. So this has Vayehi. God's as happy here as He was on the day was created. This indicates, right, that there was joy on the eighth day. Why would, so it seems like we've broken the pattern. We have all the vayahis except for this one seem to be negative. The Gemara says, no, not so fast. Ha shchiv Nadav v'Avihu, as you said.
It was the same day.
Right? This was the day of the calamity that befell the people of the death of Nadav and Avihu. So we were almost there. We almost had an exception to the rule. Although it is probably a little bit of an exception, because it's not totally bad, right? The Gemara says that it was a day which was as, at least before the Nadav and Avihu episode, it was a day that was as wonderful to God as the day on which He created the world. But now the Gemara says, hold on, maybe this is not an exception. This Vayahi also had something bad, the death of Nadav and Avihu, but I'm going to give you another exception, the Gemara says. V'akativ Vayahi bishmonim shana v'arbameyot shana. Here this is in the book of Kings, and it came to pass, Vayahi, in the 408th year, which discusses the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Right, that's a happy thing. V'akativ v'ahi kasher ra'a Yaakov et Rachel. Another time, Yaakov saw Rachel. That's also a momentous, happy occasion. V'akativ v'ahi erev v'yibok yom echad. There's also v'echasheni v'ikashlishi v'ikatuva. On every single day of creation, it says, Vayehi era vayiboker. All those days are good. The creation of the world is a good thing.
Did the rabbis
say
better in the world?
Man, not the world. Man, okay. Man. Right. So how could you say we have all these vayehis? The Beit Hamikdash was created. Yaakov saw Rachel, and all the days that the world was created.
Yaakov saw Rachel, but he had to work another 7 years to see her better.
That's true. Fair point. Okay. So the Gemara says, we'll settle it right now. Amar Ravashi, kol vayehi ikahachi. With regard to every instance of the word vayehi alone, right? Ikahachi v'ikahachi. Just the word vayehi, sometimes it's grief, sometimes it's not grief. Vayehi bimei, when it says, and it came to pass in the days of, eino ela lashon sar. In those cases, it's only tsar. So that's the way the Gemara is able to get around the problem. Vayehi bimei, it's tsar. Vayehi, maybe good,
okay.
maybe not. Okay, so that ends the Gemara. So now we know, whenever you read Torah, right, you read something that says vayehi or vayehi bimei, you could see how it fits into this pattern. It either, if it's Vayehi Bimei, it's always going to be bad news, like Vayehi Bimei Achashverosh. If it's Vayehi, it may be good news, it may be bad news.
But it seems that all the good news eventually turns into bad news.
No, not necessarily. There was no, all of Vayehi's where the world was created.
Wow. I mean, then he destroyed the world for the flood.
Then there's, right. If you go down the world, there's, he didn't destroy the world, by the way. No. He didn't destroy the world, he destroyed
the people.
Right? But then in that case, there's, if you're going to use that sort of mode of logic, then there's never anything good, right? Because everyone's born and then everyone dies. So the day that someone's born, is a bad day because they're going to die. So I don't think we have to go. I don't think that's what's going on here. I mean, they're saying at that moment, right? Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. At that moment, there was something bad. And when Yaakov saw Leah, at that moment it was good, right? So I don't think we're going to have to. Like a galgal, go all the way.
But in the end, he married her, so it's good.
So that's also good. But we're not going. We're not looking at the end. We're looking at that moment. So what about here? Vayehi bayom hashmini. So the Gemara says that one of the bad things is the bad thing that happened here is the death of Nadav and Avihu. Okay, we know that. That's going to come. We saw that already, right? We learned those parshiot already. We learned about Nadav and Avihu in previous years. But we have, that's in Acharei Mot Kedoshim in a few weeks. But I want to share with you a different approach. This is an approach of the Or HaChaim. And he has a different view as to what is bad here. As to he has a different view of the as to what's bad here. The Gemara, as I said, noted that the negative thing, which is hinted at by the word vayehi in this case, is the death of Nadav and Avihu. Or HaChaim has something else. Okay, so first, I'll read you the Or HaChaim and we'll unpack it. It's really very powerful. He says as follows. First, Or HaChaim, he entertains the Gemara's possibility. That's talking about the death of Nadav and Avihu, and that's great. He says, "V'ulai nir'eh od." Maybe there's something else going on here as well. "Ki hatsar sheyagid hakatuv hu shel Moshe." Shel Moshe. That Moshe. Well, I think it's too early for that. It's too early for that. That's not in context of what's going on here. Ki atzar sheyagid hakatuv hu shel Moshe. So what's we understand Aaron? We don't even understand Moshe being sad that his nephews were killed. But that's not what the Or HaChaim is talking about. Moshe is experiencing here a specific type of tsar, a specific type of sadness or some sort of tribulation. What is it?
Well, according to this, he gave up all his functions in the thing that he was doing everything, and then the nephews.
Good. The Or HaChaim says, "Ki ra'ah gedulato ugedulat zaro biyad Aaron uvanav." Mm-hmm. This is when he comes to realize that his greatness and the greatness that should have been his children's greatness is now in the hands of Aaron and his sons. Ulitzad. What's that?
I don't.
He has children. Moshe has children. Sure. Yeah.
Who are the children?
Ulitzad shehiftzir bishlichut paro chara apo bo bayomahu. On the day, what led to Moshe? What led to the fact that now the greatness and the power that Moshe was supposed to have is now in the hands of Aaron and his sons? The Or HaChaim is quoting a Rashi, which we'll look at in a moment. On the day that Moshe refused the first time, maybe not the first time, but on the day that Moshe refused the Shlichut to Paro, God's decision that he, Moshe, should go speak to Paro to order that Bnei Yisrael be freed, Chara Apo Bo Bayomahu. God got angry at him on that day. V'azvu mihiyot kohen la'olam, and Moshe's his potential to be the kohen was revoked on that day. What is he talking about? Let's go look. Shemot. Let's go. Keep your hand on page 588. And let's look on Exodus chapter 4, Pasuk Yud Dalet, 4:14.
Not a very forgiving God.
4:14.
He had a legitimate excuse.
Who says it's a punishment? It's just a consequence. You don't want to be the leader. Don't be the leader.
But if he was so humble, yeah. Moshe, why did he care?
Why did who care?
Moshe. If they took...
Oh, we'll get there. Excellent question. That is the key question here. Meaning, how could the Or HaChaim say that Moshe is so upset about losing his honor if he's the most humble person? Hold that thought. Let's just get the background. Excellent. Okay, so here's what happens. God tells Moshe, you've got to do this. Moshe says, sorry. In verse 10, Pasuk 10, Yudi says, lo ish divarim anochi, I'm not a man of words. Gam itmo, gam shulshom, page 308. I don't want this. I can't do this job. Hashem says to him, tough luck. Mi sam pela adam, o mi yasum ilaim o cheresh, o pikeach, o iver. Halo anochi Hashem. Stop complaining. You don't think I know that you don't want to do this or that whatever? You're not a man of words? Who do you think makes a mouth for man, makes one be able to speak or not be able to speak, deaf, sighted, blind? It is me. So go. Meaning, I understand that everyone has their shortcomings. I understand that everyone has, no one's perfect, but you, I choose you. You're my Pokemon, right? No one gets that because anyone have grandchildren who plays with Pokemon?
Yes,
I choose you, right? I choose you. You're my guy, okay? So then Moshe is not convinced in Pasuk Yod Gimel. Vayomer bi Adonai shalach na bi atishlach. Send anyone but me. Meaning, this is not Moshe just saying, no, thank you. This is Moshe saying, I don't want it. God saying, I know you don't want it, but I'm not accepting your resignation. And Moshe still saying. So on the one hand, Moshe is being a little stubborn. On the other hand, it could be, maybe it's not a punishment. God is saying, okay, this is your last leadership role. You don't want to be the leader. You're not going to be the Kohen either. So it's not a punishment. It's actually God being nice to Moshe.
Right?
So then what happens? Yeah. He's angry, meaning he's angry, but he's in the end he says, you could have your wish, Moshe. You're going to do this one. This is going to be your last sort of public role, but you're not going to have another public leadership role besides leading the people through the desert, which is also a big deal. So let's look at, this is what happens. Vaycharaf Hashem b'Moshe v'yomer. What does God say? The wrath of Hashem burned against Moshe, and he said, Halo Aharon achicha halevi yadati, Ki daber yidaber hu, V'gam hinei hu yotzei lekratecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he will surely speak. Moreover, behold, he is going out to meet you, and he sees you, and he will receive you in his heart. And we have a, I believe, Rashi here. Rashi here says, yep, if you see Rashi, which is on page 308, the double columns, the left column, about a third of the way up from the bottom, Vayichar Af, where it says Pasuk Yudala in the Hebrew. Vayichar Af. It's over here. Vayichar Af. Okay? Everyone have it? Vayichar Af. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer Kol Charon Af Shebetorah Nemar Bo Roshem. That's the second klal we learned today. Every time that you have the word Vayihi, you should look for Tzaras. And every time it says Vayichar Af, it means there's going to be some sort of mark. You say, this is going to leave a mark. Roshem. Right, there's going to be some sort of consequence. It's not God just getting angry. It's God getting angry, and there's going to be some
consequence.
Right, consequence. V'zeh lo nemar bo roshem. V'lo matzinu sheba onesh al yidei oto charon. But what about here? There is no indication in the psukim. All it says is, God's angry. And by the way, Aaron's coming to say hi. And he's going to be the spokesman. Where's the anger? Amar lo Rabbi Yossi af bazo ne'emar bo roshem. No, he says his friend Rabbi Yossi. There is a roshem. There is a consequence here. What's the consequence here? Halo aharon achicha halevi sheya atid liot levi velo kohen. What was Aaron's plan originally for Aaron? He was going to be a Levi, not a Kohen. Vakuna hayiti omer latzeit mimcha. Moshe, you were supposed to be the original Kohen, and everyone was going to come from you. Me'ata lo yekein. From now on, you're out. Elahu yihye Kohen, v'ata Levi. Aaron's going to be the Kohen. You're going to flip-flop.
He was the first Kohen and the first Levi, because usually it goes by the parents.
Well, we have to start somewhere, right? Right, exactly. Shenemar u'Moshe ish Elohim banav, right? So that's the Roshem. So now we know the Roshem. So now let's go back to the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim says, this is why Moshe is upset. This is why Moshe is upset. Moshe is upset because... because he is now, he knew back then, presumably, that God said, okay, you're not going to be the Kohen. But it didn't make a difference until now. Because there was nothing, the job of Kohen had no practical application. But now that the Mishkan is being built, right, and God says, okay, Aaron and Aaron's sons, come here. Now Moses says, now I'm upset, right? So back to the Or HaChaim. V'letzad shevtzir b'shlichut paro chara apo bo bayomahu v'azumiyot kohen olam u'kishigia yom hapakida nitzta'er al asher parach mimenu oz tiferet kuhunat olam. Such beautiful language, right? The Or HaChaim says, on that day, Moshe was nitzta'er, he was saddened, because the glory and the grandeur of the kuhuna parach mimenu, flew away from him.
It's
he's sorry, he's upset, yeah. Because all the way back then, he said, I don't want it. Vahagam ki, and now he would come to Marilyn's question. So Marilyn, well done. You thought of the same question of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. She says, Vahagam ki atzam me'od b'tzidkut uva anava. Says, well, what about the fact that Moshe is a giant, and his essence is righteousness and humility. So why should he be upset? Right? I'm so happy that it's Aaron. Why should he be upset? The Or HaChaim's answer is so beautiful and so simple. He says, hello, kol lev chai margish. He's a human being. Yeah, he's very humble, maybe more humble than me and you, But he's still a human being. And every living heart feels kol lev chai magish. There's no way around it. There's no, you, human beings, as much as we try, cannot avoid our feelings. We don't have to act on our feelings. That's the first thing we teach our children, right? You're angry, don't hit. You could be angry, but don't hit or don't bite, right? But no human being can avoid their feelings. Now, there's no indication that Moshe did anything on this day. He didn't throw a tantrum. He didn't steal the Kohen clothes so his brother couldn't do the job, right? He didn't lock the door or hide things, right? But according to the Aruch Chaim, Vayehi Bayom Hashmini indicates tsar. Who's tsar? Moshe's tsar. Because Moshe was sad. Okay? Now, he goes on. He goes on. Ubifrat b'davar mitzvah yikrat ha'erech ha'mufla'a kazot. He's especially saddened because he has lost the opportunity to do such a beautiful mitzvah like being the Kohen. So that's another explanation, meaning everyone's human. Plus, this wasn't Moshe being upset that he wasn't getting the honor. This is Moshe being upset that he wasn't able to do the mitzvah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
There's one problem. This is a galut mentality explanation.
Okay.
If you look at Moshe, if you look at political leadership, Moshe's the one who organizes the war against Amalek. Moshe's the one who sends the spies. Moshe and Aaron is out of it.
Because Moshe's the religious leader.
Moshe is the, no, he's the political leader.
Aaron's the religious leader, right.
Moshe is a political leader.
Right.
And it's not clear at all that, I mean, so, and it doesn't become clear until later that the political leadership will not be able to lay be, it'll be with you. Now, that's later.
Right. But at this point, it was both original, God's original plan was a person like Moshe
right.
was maybe a unique personality who could combine political and religious leadership.
But this certainly doesn't. I don't. This doesn't seem to get at the stuff that Moshe was doing. He never, you know, he didn't.
Well, it does. Meaning, yes, he had other duties, but this was perhaps in his eyes the greatest because it was religious.
He was doing everything in
it was. It was. It was purely religious. It was the Mishkan. You're right. Moshe was not stripped of all of his duties. That's for sure. On that score, you're 100% correct.
When Bezalel is chosen to build the temple, design, there's no Vayehi. He doesn't. There's any. I don't know.
Right, but that's also. But it's different. There's one difference though. The Vayehi here is based on the fact: had Moshe never thought or been told he was the Kohen, he wouldn't have been upset here. Yeah. It was taken away from him. So Moshe, this is lost potential. This is not Moshe saying, "I want to be the architect." You were never supposed to be the architect. That's not your strength. Here,
where does it say that he was supposed to be?
Based on the Gemara and the Psukim that we just read.
Where does it indicate that he was supposed to be the Kohen? He was to be a spokesman.
And the Kohen, as we read in the Gemara. And the Kohen, as we read.
The Gemara decided.
Yeah. Well, no, it's our tradition. It's our tradition. It's our tradition.
He felt that he couldn't speak out because of his deficiency. He couldn't speak well.
Right.
Was stutter. Right. That's a midrash said that it was stutter.
But God told him he could do it anyway, and he kept saying no, no, no.
Okay, so he needs reassurance. That's all. But
God gave him reassurance, and he still said no.
But he acknowledges his limits.
Right. And God said, "I know you're everyone, but everyone has limits. If everyone who had limits said, I can't do it because I have these limits, we would never have any great people."
If he had been the Kohen,
okay, maybe
the Nevi'im's job. Remember, was it Shayahu Isaiah who came and chased people away from the temple because they weren't pure enough to be?
Well, no, there were many Nevi'im
that would never have been sacrifices because he was so demanding and so this.
No, he wasn't chasing people away. He was saying no. The Nevi'im were saying, you can't expect to bring a carbon and everything be okay if you're also oppressing weak people. That's different. Okay, let's keep going, okay? If you oppress weak people, meaning you can't say, I'll do my ritual obligations, like bringing karbanot, but I'm going to be a scoundrel when it comes to Ben Adam L'Chaviro. That doesn't make you whole with God.
Moshe would have said that.
Maybe God's trying to tell us something.
be a leader, actually to lead something, you need two people. One to take care of Medinut Chutz,
right,
outside foreign relations.
Right.
And one to do the spiritual.
It could be, but that's not Laura Chaim's view. Laura Chaim's view is that Moshe was expecting to be the Kohen. He was told that he's not going to be the Kohen. And now, on the day that he would have been the Kohen, and he would have been able to serve God in this beautiful way, he can't do it, and he's upset. Because, as he said, Kol Lev Chai Margish. Now, let's keep going, because the Orach Chai makes one other interesting point. Because remember, we said that Moshe doesn't throw a tantrum on this day. Even though he's upset, according to Orach Chai, he doesn't do anything outward to oppose it. Not only does he not do anything outward to oppose it, the Orach Chaim says he actually goes out of his way to at least express outwardly that he's not upset in the following way. Da, says the Orach Chaim. This is, I'm reading, you don't have this. Da. Ki ha'oseh davar kazeh she'itain gidola hanodat lo lezulato. When you have to give greatness to someone else that was originally meant for you, right? Kasher yitchayev la'asota, lo yishlot b'nafsho asota b'gimel shilemiyot. There are going to be three things that you will likely fall short in, right? When you have to give someone greatness that you think is belong to you. Like, I always think, when you think of this, you can think of Haman. Haman thought that Ahasuerus was going to honor him, and Ahasuerus says, put Mordechai on the horse, give Mordechai my royal, on my horse, give Mordechai my royal garments, and say about Mordechai, Kacha yasel ha'ish asher amelech chafetz bikaro. This is what we do to a person who the king wants to show honor to. Okay, I can imagine that Haman was not doing that belave male, right? He was not doing that, you know, excited. He wasn't shouting on the rooftops. He was probably, you know, like Kacha yasel ha'ish, right? He wasn't, right? So, what are the three things? The three things. First of all, he says, you have to do it. The first is sheyasena bimhirut. When you are obligated to give someone honor that belongs to you, chances are you're not going to do it so quickly. You're going to procrastinate and hesitate and do it at the last possible minute. Second, v'habet b'tziruf b'chinat hadragot sheyeshnam b'davar. You're not necessarily going to do it in a way which is the most great. You're going to do it in a way which makes it easier for you, like in a way which maybe takes off some of the disappointment. And finally, you're not going to do it asiyat hadavar bepirsum lifnei rabim. You're not going to do it in public, right? Meaning, if you really think that you deserve the gold medal, but the Olympic Committee says no, you got to give it to that guy. It's not so easy to do it right away, or with all of the pomp and circumstance you're supposed to do it with, or as quickly as you're supposed to do it, right? Says Or HaChaim, right, exactly. Says the Or HaChaim, if we look at Moshe, not only did he not throw a tantrum, but he did it in quickly, with all the proper steps, and publicly, right? Now we'll follow along. V'hodiyah HaKatuv, ki shiloshtam yachad shalat Moshe b'nafsho v'asam. The Orach Chaim here is showing us Moshe's real greatness, right? Real greatness, the Orach Chaim is saying, is not never being upset. That's not possible, the Orach Chaim says. Ki kol lev chai margish. Real greatness is being upset, but being able to overcome it and do what you have to do anyway. That's real greatness. What's his greatness? Keneged ha-mehirut amar bayom hashmini perush biyot ha-boker tohor lev lo akav. On the eighth day, as soon as the sun came up, that's how the Orach Chaim is, if look in the verses, on page 588, that's how the Orach Chaim is explaining this verse. It doesn't say later in the day, as soon as the eighth day happened, is how the Orach Chaim is understanding this. Kara Moshe la'aron uvalav. Moshe called to Aaron and his children, and he told them what to do. Meaning, Moshe's thinking, this really should have been me, right? But on Vahibayom Ashlish Shimini, Behiyota Boker, says the Orach Chaim, right away in the morning, Moshe called Aaron and his sons. That's number one. Ela tekef kara la Aaron latet lo hakuhuna velo nitatzel. Right away he called Aaron and did not hesitate. Bet asa hadavar betziruf bechinat hadragash and atan hakuhuna la Aaron levnav yachad hagam ki baze yigdal haitzvon belibo shregedola moshechet Aaron uvanav. Take for yourself a young bull. He gives them all the steps. He didn't just say, go, do what you have to do. He gave them all the details and explanations. This is the thing. Zeh hadavar. How painful this should have been for him. Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem ta'asu. This is the thing that Hashem has commanded you to do. In Moshe's mind, what is he thinking? This is really what he should have been commanding me to do. But he's commanding you to do it. And I'm telling you, Moshe's the one who's telling him. Right? So Moshe does it quickly and with all of the detail. And finally, V'asher yatsev el libo yaseh hadavar bahadar got b'tchila yikre la'aron v'achar kein livanav ki lo haya hechrech b'kriyat habanim az im Aaron. Also, he says, he also could have done it in stages instead of all at once. He could have said, first I'll tell Aaron, and then I'll tell one son, and I'll tell another son. He tells them all together. And finally, Hagimol, b'matzav kol hazikenim, d'chtiv ul ziknei Yisrael. Moshe doesn't only gather Aaron and his sons that morning. He gathers all of the zikenim, all of the leaders, all the elders. And in front of them, he instructs Aaron and his sons, lasot hadavar bipumbi, mipnei rabim v'nechbadim. Not only publicly, but in front of the most important people of Am Yisrael. V'zei yore al shleimut haratzon lasot ritzono yitbarach, v'kafa hargashotav. And he was able to sort of push down, right, his own feelings. So the Or HaChaim, to review, says a few things. It's true, he agrees. Here, this Vayehi is negative. It's bad news. But it's not bad news only because Nadav and Avihu died. It's bad news because Moshe is sad. Moshe is sad because this should have been his glory day. Right? It should have been his day where he took over as the Kohen and his sons were the Leviim. But instead, he has to give it away. To Marilyn's question, why would he care? Because, first of all, he's a human being. And it's not really possible for human beings to totally remove any of these types of feelings from their hearts. Plus, it was a mitzvah. He wasn't really upset about his own honor, the Or HaChaim is suggesting, but he really missed the opportunity to honor God. But not only that, he didn't throw a tantrum. He didn't get upset on that day. He actually went sort of, you know, full steam ahead, quickly, with all the details, and publicly to give the honor to Aaron and his sons. And here, so the Or HaChaim, I think what the Or HaChaim has managed to do in this commentary is really highlight for us the real greatness of Moshe, which is his ability to be upset, but not to overreact and to take care of your responsibilities, even though you are upset and even though you feel that ultimately maybe that should have been you who's getting the honor. So that's Moshe's real greatness, and that's maybe his real anava, Marilyn. Maybe his real humility is not that he never was upset, but his real humility was that he never acted on it. He never took it out on people or God. Okay, that's it, everyone. Have a wonderful day.